Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon, and then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento's Sports Leader. Talked a little bit of NFL Combine with the draft and free agency coming up. We'll put a pin in that, however, to get back into the Kings' 130-88 win over the 130-88. Yeah. Oh my God, that just doesn't sound right. 130-88.
What was our guess yesterday?
Not that.
No, it wasn't that big.
No, I think I was like 121-103 or something like that.
Yeah, I think I said 124-109.
Yeah, whatever.
Like
We're
way off.
We both thought blowout, and our two blowouts combined did not match the correct number.
No.
130-88, the final. Let's get to six quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go?
Big dumb
Kings
thought.
Insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Yeah, here they are. Number one, James Hamm of the Kings beat, KingsBeat.com.
Zach LaVine went crazy. He was having a very good night. I think he had 22 at the half.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went quiet in the third quarter. I'm like, oh, is this going to be one of those nights where he just, he never like has the complete game because they don't need it. Then he gets a late 2-point bucket from, off the feed from LaRavia. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth quarter was just crazy. I mean, the fan reaction was crazy. Everything was wild. I thought it was just such a good night to see somebody have like their moment for a fan base and like be accepted. And I thought that was really cool.
Okay, never mind. This is wrong. We're good. Zach LaVine in the fourth quarter, 7 of 8 and 4 of 4 from 3.
Oh, yeah.
18 points, a board, and a steal, and 521, man.
Yeah, and the threes, they were crazy, too. Let's see if we look at...
2 30-footers and a 31-footer, I believe, with a 26-footer mixed in.
Yeah.
Maybe 226 and then a 31 and a 30. The last two were bombs.
Yeah, that's when it got crazy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like,
did it not feel like they needed that from anyone? Like Zach LaVine specifically, because he had not been shooting it great. I don't think anybody was super concerned about his long-term offensive output. Like it was going to eventually come around.
No, that's what
just to have a game that like, hey, we're all having a good time. The game is not in doubt. Here's our guy just being awesome. Like, that's... with how down everything has been, for fans at Golden 1 and for the Kings players to just get to enjoy 48 minutes of basketball and specifically a five-minute stretch where, like, oh, hey, we have one of the eight guys in the league capable of having a stretch of basketball like this.
Yeah.
It was great. It was so fun.
It was a huge moment. And I'm looking at the box score now. Zach LaVine missed that shot at the 11-13 mark of the fourth quarter. He didn't hit his first bucket. He had a driving layup with 10:09 left in the fourth.
Man.
So all of that came really in 3 minutes and 9 seconds. Like, wow. All of that is absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just crazy. The long 3-point shots. And then the confidence and like almost like feeling the crowd urging him to shoot from wherever. It's just wild. Good for him.
Separate. I don't think this is in your quick thoughts, so I'm going to insert my own quick thought here. The other thing that jumps out from the box score to me is 25 minutes for Keegan Murray, 27 for Domantas Sabonis, 30 for DeMar DeRozan, 31 for Zach LaVine, and 31 for Malik Monk.
Yeah, that's what happens when you...
Finally a night they didn't have to play 38 plus minutes.
Yeah, when you club somebody.
Yes.
Yeah.
They needed that badly. Number two.
DeMar DeRozan did a little bit of everything. I enjoyed watching DeMar in this game. Mm-hmm. Like there were some forced shots at a certain point. But I think the first thing he did is he started out rebounding. And then all of a sudden he started passing and finding his teammates. And then he went and got his like he does. But a lot of it came at the free throw line. I just thought overall, it was just a really, really solid all around game for him. And I know like lately he has been very, very good offensively, but sometimes, you know, he gets his other stats really, really late in games. I thought he was impactful as a rebounder early in this game and then as an assist man early in this game.
Didn't feel like he went 4 for 12 because he was making impacts elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would love to see more of that from him where he finds ways to affect winning without putting shots at the rim.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be one of the key things moving forward for me, that the reason last night worked as well as it did was because of that.
There were a couple of clunky moments where it was like he got the ball in the middle of the key and then had nowhere to go, and you're like, okay.
It's going to happen sometimes. Not every possession is going to be perfect.
No, totally, totally. So, but I thought overall, like when, like he has to do other things, and that's just it. Like the Kings need all of these guys, like even the Keegan Murray 5 rebounds in 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
In 25 minutes, so if he's playing 38, he's going to get 7 or 8 boards.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good productivity, and I thought that DeRozan was good there.
Yep, number three.
The Kings ran the ball through Domas.
Mm-hmm.
I thought early on he set the table. His stat line is really funky. For him to finish with 7 points on 3 of 6 from the field, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, and only 27 minutes. His double-double streak ended. But I thought that it was one of those performances where that's what Kings basketball needs to look like. Mm-hmm. When you watch the first half, you're like, I get it. That if you're going to do that, if you're going to play through Domas and let him direct traffic, this team does have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But they went away from it, especially early in the third. And Domas just really didn't have any opportunities to score.
Yeah.
There should have been a little more emphasis on getting him some looks. But there are guys making mistakes all over the place still.
Mm-hmm.
Even like there was a point where he got the ball at the top of the key and kept waving for LaVine to come through, and he doesn't. And then he resets, and then Domas just turned around, looked at the basket, and chucked a three.
Mm-hmm.
And he missed because that's not his normal in rhythm three. But you can see that there's still some mistakes being made, some clunkiness, but as long as they're going to use him as their hub, I think they're okay.
That's what eliminates, to me, a lot of the, hey, who brings the ball up the floor? Who initiates the offense? Dude, let your freaking center do it.
Yep.
It's what he's the best at. Don't just go, hey, get the rebound and then get rid of it and then let other people do stuff. Maybe sometimes you'll get the feed from Monk on the pick and roll. Like, no, give him the ball, because when there's just a noticeable difference when they get the ball to Domantas Sabonis and either he puts it on the deck or they're running a dribble handoff or whatever it is, there's just so much more motion. There's so much more movement. They're so much more difficult to guard.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like a no-brainer thing they need to continue doing moving forward. And if somebody, whoever it is, can't figure out how to play with them, then you just don't get to play. I don't think it's a coincidence that their offense looked better last night when they were running things through Domantas Sabonis.
No, I think that's the way you have to do it. And even the assists that Monk had, to a lot of them were to Domas on the roll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you saw a couple of really, really nice plays, and you needed more of it, but maybe not. Not in this game.
Not in this game, but certainly moving forward into the teeth of the schedule. Number four?
Yeah, Malik subbed out 4 minutes into the game, which I thought was very strange. That's what they've been doing with LaVine, but like Keon Ellis subbed in 4 minutes into the game. And at that point, Monk already had 5 points. Mm-hmm. He looked good. Then when he came back in, again, he's playing with the second unit. He's trying to get that second unit going. And so it's a little forced. The third quarter, I thought Malik just lost his mind for a few minutes. He turned the ball over on multiple possessions.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped up to 5 turnovers. Like, yeah, I think he had 3 turnovers in the quarter and 5 like midway through the third overall. And he cleaned it up. Like when they went back to the bench, and again, in the second half, they had to go to Markelle Fultz because of the Keon Ellis injury. But when they brought Monk back in, I thought all of a sudden he calmed down and was a much more productive player. Ended up with like 13 points, 9 assists. Maybe he did get to 10 assists.
He did get to 10.
Yeah.
Number five.
Keegan Murray stepped up in the third. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was totally bizarre watching this team come out in the third and look like they didn't know how to play basketball again.
Insane.
Yeah, and then Keegan went and got a rebound and scored it, and then he hit a three and just kind of got everything going again. And I thought that that was a big moment. You need him to kick in wherever he can.
Yep.
And I hope he gets more opportunities, but just like realize that he is the fifth option in mm-hmm. the starting unit, and mm-hmm. that's tough. But I thought he was good.
Yep. Right there with you. Trey Lyles hit a couple of big threes. You mentioned that earlier too.
Yeah.
Same deal. I just where it got a little dicey. Okay, big three, get the lead from 11 back to 14, or get it from 9 back to 12.
Yeah, leveled them out.
Those are big shots for sure. Last one.
Keon rolled his ankle. He came out to warm up in the second half and then went back to the locker room. We don't have an update. I don't know what's going on there. I think he stepped on Nurkic's foot and rolled his right ankle.
Isn't this the second time he rolled his ankle pretty bad this year?
He hasn't missed time with it.
Right. But he had the one. It was against Houston.
Yeah.
Where
I think he stepped on Şengün, I think.
Yeah. He stepped on his foot and left the game and was like, oh my God, what are they going to do without Keon?
Mm-hmm.
And then he played the next night.
Yeah.
Or a couple nights later.
Keon is one of those players that like he's young and like he has an elastic body right now. He is probably not going to miss time. I don't think he'll miss major time. I could be wrong. We haven't heard anything new, but mm-hmm. A lot of times with they didn't need him in the second half. And I also this gave Markelle Fultz an opportunity to step in, and I thought he was really solid.
Yeah, solid's the right word for sure.
Yeah,
knocked down the three that came to him, which was a big deal. I think he won one of two. Yeah, one of two from three, but the first one out to the corner, no hesitation, knocked it down. You see, he's. Because he had that shoulder injury. And then remember, right after he got drafted, there was the whole thing with his shot.
Oh, yeah. Somebody messed up his shot.
And so when you see videos of him shooting, everything is very slow and deliberate.
Uh huh.
But that's so when he gets into games, it can just. Because the three he hit from the corner was not this like catch, load up, long developing shot. He just caught and shot it.
Yeah, it looked like everyone else shooting a three.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it looked very normal. When I watched him in practice stuff,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't always look that normal.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, and I think it's just because he's really trying to muscle memory it.
Yeah, it's possible.
That's how it seems to me. But no, man, you see the difference when he's in the game of having a second point guard. Is he the best point guard in the sport? No, but you said it, he was solid. And he played 18 minutes last night. That's probably more than he's going to play normally.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I will take 10, 12 minutes of Markelle Fultz for sure.
Yeah, I think he's been a really interesting find right away. And the fact that he hasn't played in like 9 months and mm-hmm. he's stepping out on the court and instantly starting to look like a basketball player, look like somebody who belongs, is a mm-hmm. good thing. And I like the matchup with him and Monk off the bench because that gives you sort of your offense-defense guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way that I like, Keon Ellis playing with Zach LaVine as a backcourt. I don't know about that being a starting backcourt because neither one of them are natural setup men.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're playing with Domas and you're running everything through Domas, I don't know. I also loved Keon Ellis came in the game and it was a little bit, the Kings were a little bit slow. He instantly mm-hmm. hit two threes and no hesitation.
Yep. That's what he does.
Yep. I'm here to hit the three.
If you're not going to start him, I love the idea of that short rotation in the first quarter. I'm bringing him in. Right away before things can get a little bit out of hand. Hey, before we step aside, let's get out to the phones. The Elk Grove Kia Talk Line's 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Mitch in New Jersey, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Tom. Hope everything's well.
What's going on?
Yeah, we're good.
I think it looks bad last night. I mean, could get the same results, maybe even a bigger lead if we play in the University of San Francisco or Beverly Hills High School. But totally. You're really helping out Hornets. To me, it's all about Flag and the two stars at Rutgers. I cannot believe that Rutgers has 2-1 and done.
So
it has to be a first time ever.
So Mitch, you're
to have one. I'm sorry.
You were unmoved last night, and you still think the Kings should be in full tank mode.
Yeah, I do. I want to see Flag. I don't want to see Flag with San Antonio because Flag, Fox, and Victor Wembanyama sounds like a law firm, and you'll be hearing that team be great for 10 years at least. Those three guys went up together, and the two-thirds the way there.
All right.
I want to see Sacramento get one or two Rutgers guys. I know they're above 6'2", but I like them. And that's a guard 6'6", and guard plays have to play multiple positions today. So Why can't Zach play a point guard? Why is this big deal? Yeah, I know we have like four twos trying to cover spots one through four, but they don't even put down point guard power forward on the box scores. It's just either guard, forward, and center. Not even center. You don't see it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call, Mitch. Appreciate you. Yeah, I think it's just the point guard thing. It's just more having somebody who can organize the floor and organize the offense.
Well, that, and I do agree with Mitch. The Kings have four twos, so they're running out there.
Yeah, no, that's not wrong.
Yeah,
for sure. But in an era where positions matter less, that's why we talk about needing a second point guard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Markelle Fultz might be that for them. Like you said, hopefully. He was solid last night. Enjoyed watching him. So, did the Kings really make any progress last night? Or was it just they beat the hell out of a bad team and got a historic night from Zach LaVine? We'll talk about that next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And it's ESPN 1320.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I have seen Popstar Never Stop, Never Stopping. I've seen it twice, actually. Shout out to Will Z. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. I'm talking movies at the break. I'm trying to be better about watching movies.
Yeah.
I just, when I was growing up, I didn't watch a ton of, like, my folks weren't big, like, movie people.
Mm-hmm.
Movies weren't the first thing I gravitated to, and if I did, it was typically Disney stuff, right? So there's that gap in my like pop culture knowledge of a lot of classic like 80s and 90s, specifically action movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
Huh.
Like you pick your 15 favorite action flicks from when you were a kid.
Okay.
Or growing up, and I've probably not seen it.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm almost certain.
That's wild.
I've seen through Rocky IV. Is Rocky IV the one where they run on the beach?
No. Well, Rocky IV is, I believe, it's with against a Russian.
Drago.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, then I've seen that one.
Okay.
Is there a Rocky V?
There's a Rocky V and...
And then a Rocky Balboa, which I actually saw in theaters, weirdly enough.
Oh, wow. Okay, so like the Rocky movies, they got old because it's basically the same plot, right? Like the Rambo movies got old as well. Once you get past the
sure,
like the second one, then mm-hmm. everything else is just kind of like a different version until
right.
you get to the last one, which is dark as hell, and I don't suggest.
Okay, good
but
to know.
The first Rambo is it's a genre of film that's being made coming out of the Vietnam War. So we have Deer Hunter, right? We have Rambo. And they're the first movies that put the return home of military servicemen in a dark a dark light where they're mistreated and
sure.
And you know like the damage that's done, because before that war movies were all they're basically propaganda pieces
sure.
or, you know super
sure.
exciting all mm-hmm. that stuff. We get into that dark stuff and then like you get into the 80s and it carries on. So we get Platoon, we get Full Metal Jacket, like some great movies, but they're very much not like what we were used to before that.
I think I watched Full Metal Jacket in high school.
Is that's that the one intense.
With, is that the one?
Vincent D'Onofrio, Matthew Modine.
Oh, then maybe it wasn't. Maybe I saw Platoon.
Platoon is Charlie Sheen.
Yes, that's the one. Martin Sheen?
Yeah, probably Martin Sheen. Tom Berenger.
Yeah, that's the one I've seen. I've seen Platoon.
Willem Dafoe is in that, I believe.
I feel like yes, because for some reason his face is in my brain, but that might just be because...
Yeah. See, that's when we start getting like the real, what war might really look like,
sure.
right? So...
Intense. Yeah, my penchant for when I have a couple hours to kill is to either read or watch a TV show I've already watched. That's just...
Okay.
But I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to be better. I have not seen that.
You've never seen Hot Shots or Hot Shots Part 2?
No.
Oh, that's Charlie Sheen.
Remember Spoof. The Titans? I've seen a bajillion times.
Okay.
Miracle about the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. We could go bar for bar. I will quote that movie start to finish. But again, that's what, as a kid, I just like, when I wanted to watch a movie, I was watching something I was comfortable and familiar with.
Got it.
So, anyways. TC, get us back on track. TC, what's up?
Hey, what's up, big dog?
Chilling, bro.
What's happening?
Yeah. Hey, Hammer Call. Hey, listen. Hey, that was a nice moment, man, to find Zach last night with the fans and everything. And just for him to find himself. I know he had that 30-point, bro, but this is what we were looking for with Zach. We rolling like this, cooking, going through Domas, bro. We got something special going on. Not to get off, we won, right? But if we're talking about, I know it's early, but I've been watching this kid, bro. I've been watching the games on the weekend. Check that guy, Bruin, out from Auburn. I think I'm saying his name right. The 6'10 guy. A dog, bro. If we can find our way him and get into the bottom half of the first round this year, not tanking. I'm talking about packaging some at the end of the season to get into the draft to get that kid. He fits, bro. Check him out. But other than that, we looked good last night, bro.
Thanks, TC. Appreciate you, buddy. So not tanking because you want your pick to convey this year.
Well, I mean, maybe not. I don't know. Like, okay, so the Kings right now, they sit in 13th place in the lottery,
mm-hmm.
right? And someone earlier said, hey, if they're the 10th spot, won't they get to keep mm-hmm. their pick? No, their pick is top 12 protected. So right now, like, they're right on the bubble of whether mm-hmm. they keep their pick or not. And it doesn't matter where you're at pre-lottery.
Right. It is the lottery, not the standings.
Yeah, so if there's a way for you to move up in the lottery, then it's still your pick is still protected. Like, you can make the argument that, like, it might be better for the Kings to keep their pick this year because there's no guarantee that they'll give up their pick next year either. And then the pick dissolves into 2 second-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
If you give your pick this year, what you do have, like just the semantics of it, mm-hmm. on July 1st, you now have access to your 2032 pick.
Right.
So if the Kings were to give up their 2025, they would then have access to a 26, two 27s, a 28, a 29, a 30, two 31s, one of which is pick swap protected, mm-hmm. and a 2032. So all of a sudden they would have access to nine first round picks. And variables on the first round picks as far as stepping role, because you have a 27, an extra 27, and you have an extra 31.
Mm-hmm.
So you could trade back to back picks in specific years. So, like, interesting, right? And, mm-hmm. You know, they could give up, like, realistically, they could give up their own 26 and their own 27
right.
first and round picks.
Still be under the stepping role.
And still be okay in the stepping role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Fingers crossed. So, what I guess struggling with since last night's win
mm-hmm.
is trying to figure out, okay, how much stock am I putting in this? Because it was undeniably like the if you had told me, hey, they're gonna win 130-88, I'd be like, take that for sure, incredible. Love it. But there's part of me that's wondering, okay, how much of last night was actual progress? And how much do we think, oh, there's stuff to build on here. There's tangible growth here. And instead of just like, oh, they played a bad team and they played a little harder than normal. How much of that was tangible growth and how much of that was, hey, they played a bad team. Zach LaVine scored 42 points and they pulled away at the end. That's what I'm trying to weigh right now, because, again, my natural inclination as a sports fan is to overreact to whichever direction.
I think both things are true, right? We saw tangible progress in a game. We saw
yeah.
the team do things that looked better than what they had done before.
The second unit specifically looked really good.
I think the second unit looked really good. I think Zach LaVine looked really good. I think running the ball through Domas for long stretches of the game was really good. I thought that, you know, guys fitting in and figuring out their roles, like, it was happening more. Again, you brought up Trey Lyles. He ends up with like 8 points after not playing in the first half, but everything was in rhythm. The passes mm-hmm. to him were great. I thought Valanciunas stepping into a mm-hmm. role looked great. Like, there are a lot. Laravia, I thought, you know, again, a guy can impact the game without scoring yep. at all. So all of those things were good. But the fact is, you did it against a team that is really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it doesn't matter. The Kings still have to get the win, right?
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
But they also, they almost need that type of scrimmage atmosphere mm-hmm. where you get to try some new things. You get to get comfortable on the floor together. You get to play with some resistance and against someone that's different than your own team.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they aren't, you know, it. They aren't a team that's going to jump up and bite you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, look, I think it's it. Fans should be excited because they got a win. And because, you know, again, Doug Christie's now 16-10 mm-hmm. as a head coach. There's a good chance after Wednesday he'll be 17-10 mm-hmm. as a head coach. That's really good. It doesn't matter who you're playing,
mm-hmm.
right? So all of that's good, but you have to be able to learn and grow from each of these games that are coming, that you're going through right now, because when Houston pops up on your schedule or you get done with that game, you got Dallas. That, you know, Dallas can beat people. They've been beating teams and shocking people since the trade, right? And the trade and then the injury. But it's what comes after that that's going to be the real problem. You have to use this time right now to get better as a team. And if they don't take this serious, and I would circle the one thing that stands out that wasn't good last night. They had 18 turnovers last night.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
That's a bad number.
It's a bad number, and the reason you got away with it because it was a bad team. You know,
sure.
18 isn't all that much different than the 24 they had the game before.
Mm-hmm.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
But you're going to ignore it because you club somebody. They have to clean all that stuff up. And they've got to figure out ways to get guys to play to their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just seeing like the nexus of the beginning of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's tough about switching your team midseason.
The thing this does for me is, again, I'm not ready to raise their ceiling. But I am, for now, not looking back and going like, hey, what's Phoenix doing? Like, uh-oh, what? Like, uh-oh. If Sacramento plays like they did last night for the most part, you're going to beat the hell out of bad teams, and you're going to win a lot of your games against teams in the same tier as you.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you a chance against a team like Boston and OKC. And again, I don't think they're all of a sudden going to win all their games and be the third seed. But if you're mapping this out and going a game at a time, having a performance like that under their belt against whoever is meaningful. Because like I said at the top of the show, it's just proof positive, okay, they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's film of, hey, this works, here's how this goes. I saw Dr. David in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 mention like, okay, let's see him do it against the Rockets. And I agree, but also going into last night, I was like, let's see them do it against the Hornets.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have it. It's like, okay, good. Perfect. Got that out of the way because they hadn't done it against the Pelicans. They didn't do it against the completed Mavericks team. They didn't have a, like I said, they have not just beat the brakes off a team like that since the middle of January when they played the Wizards.
Yeah, and Kyle, I think the biggest point, you know, they won 3 out of 4 going into the break, and I know we were really hard on them for losing mm-hmm. that last game,
mm-hmm.
but it was because they weren't playing well. They were just beating
exactly.
bad teams.
So exactly.
when you beat the Pelicans 123-118, and it was closer than that, that's not a great win. When mm-hmm. you beat the Mavericks, 129-128 in overtime, but they
needed a heroic DeMar DeRozan effort to get there.
Yeah, and they were playing without Anthony Davis, Derek Lively, their other, what's his name?
Daniel Gafford got hurt during the game.
Got hurt during the game. Dwight Powell didn't play. They had no bigs at all,
mm-hmm.
and it took overtime to beat them. Then you beat the Pelicans 119-111, and again, it wasn't that far, mm-hmm. that 8-point separation. It was closer than that.
For sure.
And then you get to the game where you lose to the Pelicans, that's when it starts to mm-hmm. build. And we're like, okay, they're winning, but you know, is winning ugly okay? And it's like, okay, but you're not gonna win against better teams.
I am really curious to see how this, and again, this is not a good or bad thing. It's just a thing that I'm mm-hmm. watching moving forward. Is how the offensive distribution plays out over the next handful of games. Because last night you had 19 shots for Zach LaVine, 14 for Malik Monk, and 12 for DeMar DeRozan, just 7 for Domantas Sabonis, and 9 for Keegan Murray. What happens on a night where Zach LaVine is 7 of 19? Are they picking up that offensive slack, and if so, how?
Is it continuing to run the ball through Domas, or is it Monk and LaVine and DeRozan saying, your turn, my turn, his turn, my turn, your turn, his turn, my turn for four possessions now, because somebody's trying to get going? And again, we don't, that may not be an issue. It may just be, hey, we're going to run everything through Domantas Sabonis, and that's how this is going to go. And you're going to shoot 15 to 18 times a night, depending on who's hot. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's going to go.
Well, I would tell, the concern that I have is that the last time, you know, against the Pelicans going into the All-Star break, Zach LaVine scored 32 points and had 10 assists, right? Mm-hmm. He was 12 of 24 from the field. The next game, he was 5 of 12 from the field and scored 13 points in the loss to Golden State. Now, he only played 34 minutes versus 45 and all that stuff. But the point is, like, it has to be, you can see exactly who Zach LaVine is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not 32 and 10. He's 40. He's closer to 42 and two.
Yeah.
And so you have to put him in the right position and play to his strength. His strength is clearly shooting the ball, getting downhill,
mm-hmm.
Like going to the rack and scoring, getting out in transition. Like, these are things that he's really good at. You have to find ways to play to his strength. And that's why playing through Domas means so much.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to find ways to play to Malik Monk's strengths, which is hitting the open three, but also getting the pick and roll game,
mm-hmm.
Highlight real dunk here and there. But, you know, like, there. So how do you blend all these things together? You got to play to DeMar DeRozan's strength, which is shooting that mid-range jump shot. You got to get to Keegan Murray's strength, which is, you know, at this point, it's a set three-point shooter, but it's also, like, getting him opportunities to do more because he does have more in his game. And it's, they just aren't to the point where all of these things are blending at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a window in which you can see that they might be able to get there. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really good thing to score 42 as opposed to DeMar's 42, which was, if DeMar didn't score 42, you lost that game.
Yeah.
This was a guy scored 42, and it was a lot of fun, and you won by a ton.
Yeah, and the last 18 of them were just a party.
Yeah, just a total party. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, man. Again, everything I have after last night is more, I would like consistency now. That was it. That's kind of what it looks like. Now let's see it in Utah, and let's see it consistently moving forward.
Yeah. Can you do it against Houston? Mm-hmm. Even if you don't beat Houston, can you still give Houston a run?
Mm-hmm.
Can you make it look more competent and more like an NBA basketball game?
Yep. 1,000%. Before we head out for the handoff, I saw this morning that the Cowboys are letting Trey Lance walk in free agency.
That's wild.
They traded a 4th-round pick for him 2 years ago when they didn't need to. He was going to probably get released. So they traded a 4th-round pick for him 2 years ago and are now letting him walk, and I believe he started one game for them. That's just bad asset management.
The biggest question is, why did you trade for him if you had no intentions? And because when you trade for somebody, they had to pay him. Like, it's not like he was on a 2-year, $3 million deal or something.
Yeah, he was still on his rookie deal.
He's still on his rookie scale contract, so he's making like $8 million or something.
Mm-hmm.
To be your third, your scout team quarterback and never really give him a full shot. Just weird asset management, like you said.
And if he's, maybe he's just that horrible. Mm-hmm. I thought in his start he looked better than he had at really any other point of his career. His start for Dallas this year. But if he's just that horrible, then I don't think he is. But like you said, you never even made him your QB2. He's just going to be your emergency quarterback and you give him a 4th for him?
It's wild.
At some point, you think you'd just put him in the game, let him figure it out.
Well, especially since you had a major injury to Dak and missed a huge part of the season.
Yeah, like, run him out there, see what you got.
Yeah, you're not making any noises here. Why not give him an opportunity and see what you have?
You gave up a 4th-round pick. Cooper Rush isn't going anywhere, man. I promise.
Yeah. I'll say this.
That's
they know more about Trey Lance behind the scenes than we do.
No doubt. I'm just floored that you give up a 4th to have an emergency quarterback for 2 years.
And somebody without any type of experience.
Yeah. Insane. All right. The handoff coming up. One of D-Lower KC will be in here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We'll be back in a second.
to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's exactly right. D'Lo and KC coming up in about 15 minutes, which means it is time for the handoff.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's KC, Kenny Caraway.
Kenny Caraway in the building. How's it going, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's a Tuesday. Sun is shining. Everything's good. It's all good. No complaints.
Zach LaVine, 2 assists, 3 turnovers last night. Your thoughts?
Take care of the ball. It's a ball stopper.
Come on, man.
That was quite a performance, man.
That was. What was the number that he scored 18 in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
And he played 5 minutes and still outscored the Hornets?
And he didn't even score almost for the first 2 minutes. That's so crazy. It was really like a 3 minute stretch where he scored 18 points.
That is crazy. I mean, yeah. he's a lethal scorer, you know, when he's aggressive and when he's got it locked in. I'm always amazed at NBA players for sure. Even some pros, like I play with like some guys overseas, right? About like when they get it going, they literally can shoot the ball from anywhere. It doesn't matter what defense you have. It doesn't matter how close you are, how much you get a hand in the face. Like, it doesn't touch anything but the bottom. It's amazing to see.
I was trying to think how many players in the league are capable of that kind of stretch.
Mm.
Steph is one.
Mm-hmm.
Zach LaVine is two. I think Luka's probably up there. Luka can get rolling like
off
that.
Off the top of my head, I'd say it's maybe a safe number, but I'd say like 25.
Oh, I said 8.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's as many as 25. I mean, it used to be that Klay could get that way. But again, it's all catch and shoot.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Yeah, I mean, and it's different. I mean, he doesn't have the range, but like DeRozan could get there.
But I feel like it just seems maybe the range is kind of what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That ability to hang up 18 points in whatever it was, 4 minutes of game time.
Oh, Dame can do
for
that.
Sure.
Dame,
Kyrie.
Ooh, Kyrie's a good one.
Trae Young, I think, could do something like that.
It's been a long time, though.
I think it's about 20 to 25 people who could do that.
Hmm.
Man.
Tatum. I put Tatum in there.
Man, that's way more than I thought.
I put those guys in there. SGA's in there.
I was trying to give Zach LaVine a bunch of credit, and he's like, "Nah, a bunch of people could do that. That's easy work."
20-25.
Have you got in the zone like that a couple of times in your career?
I think so. I don't know.
You have to have had a game where you go, it doesn't matter what I throw up, it's going.
Yeah,
it's going
I've scored a lot, and it's like been you know, good percentages or whatever, mm-hmm. but.
Efficiency.
I don't know if I could get like those guys, those NBA guys, where like it doesn't matter what the defense is.
Yeah.
Like it just does not matter.
Yeah.
If somebody's standing right in your hip and they'll still hit it. I don't know if I've reached that before.
That's got to be just so demoralizing.
Yeah.
Where there's nothing you're going to do. It's just like you can get a contest, you can throw a double, you can pick him up full court, you can pick him up at half court.
And from where he's shooting them, what the two? I don't know if it was
31 and 30
ones.
Were the last two.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Off the bounce, one was with the right hand off the bounce, which is to me is a lot more difficult. Yeah, that's just this is the NBA.
What do you mean by that?
It depends. Some people are comfortable shooting both ways. Me personally. And you see Steph do it a lot, too. He'll have the ball in your left hand. Because when you have it in your left hand, sorry, radio, this is visual, it mm-hmm. just comes up like this, right?
I see, okay.
Right hand, you got to get on top of it, get your shoulder square, go like that.
I see.
So that's just a little bit more difficult for some people. But if you work at it enough, and really if you're tall enough, like mm-hmm. it's not really a big deal.
All right.
What I love was a moment where you could feel him feel the crowd.
Mm.
Like, the crowd was, like, egging him on. Like, he got a standing ovation.
Mm.
Like, during the run, like, fans were on their feet. The whole building is lighting up. You're watching everybody get, like, they were like, keep shooting, man. Yeah, keep like, what they did, when McDermott.
Yeah.
Right? When McDermott got crazy hot that one quarter.
McDermott's one of them? No, he's not.
But it was good to see. It was good to see him, like, have that moment where it's like, hey, you became a Sacramento King. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. what it felt like in that game.
Yeah, no, that's a good call, man. And shout out to the crowd, man.
It was good last night.
They were there. They were there. They were locked into that performance. That's just what they do. And that's really what I worry about. And I wonder if, like, if they went tanking, you know, and like, or just like ripped it down and completely stripped everything down. I know this is a great fan base, but, you know, would they, I'll ask the question on D'Lo and KC too, but I'll ask you guys, would you rather be the Kings right now or the Hornets?
The Kings.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're staring at. And think about the Hornets have been doing, we asked the question a couple of weeks ago, have this incarnation of the Hornets ever been good? Like Kemba for about 3 years, maybe.
Yeah.
But other than that, we're talking, they've been around
it's
for
been a long time.
25, almost 30 years, and they've done nothing, absolutely nothing in this league. Would you, I don't necessarily care which direction you go, because I'm going to still go to the games. I'm going to still watch. Mm-hmm. I'm going to still root for them. But that's the question I ask people when they say, hey, tear this whole thing down. Do you want to be the Hornets or the Kings?
I think people have this weird thing that I even had a conversation with someone courtside last night.
Oh.
And they're like,
wow.
Well, it was in pregame. It was like where I just wander around. But they said, oh, well, we've never really torn it down. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, the Kings had three first-round picks in 2016, and they traded for Buddy Hield, who was a rookie, the sixth pick in the draft. The next year, they had three first-round picks in Fox, Justin Jackson, Harry Giles. They had the second pick in the second round, which they brought Frank Mason in, and they brought Bogdan Bogdanovic as a rookie over. They had they had like eight first and second or nine first and second year players on the team at one time. That's a total teardown.
Yeah.
Like, you brought in Zebo and you brought in Vince Carter and you brought in George Hill. But
they never actively were like, we're going to suck and try and get the first pick.
They did it once, right, with when they tried to get Blake?
Yes.
And it didn't work.
No, well, they got the, they won 17 games.
Oh.
And they ended up in that draft with the fourth pick, which was the worst pick they could have got because it was three were lottery, and they were the worst team in the league, and they got Tyreek. The next year, again, they should have either been the first or the second pick, and they fell to five, which is where they got Cousins. So three teams moved above them, so they were the fifth pick. They were the second worst team in the league and ended up with the fifth pick in the Cousins draft 2010. It doesn't usually work to fully tank. And even when they did get move up in the draft, they were the eighth spot when they moved to three and back to five with De'Aaron Fox. They were, again, either the seventh or the eighth when they moved up to get Marvin Bagley at number two.
When you say, would you rather be the Kings or the Hornets? The reason I say the Kings, at least today, is because the Hornets, I know they have Brandon Miller and LaMelo and
Mark Williams and Miles
Trey Mann and Miles Bridges, and they got all these, and they're in line to be one of the worst four teams in the league with a shot to get Cooper Flagg. Like, I get that, but I would the Kings are two back of a six seed right now, so I would so much rather like take this shot and roll the dice and try and make the playoffs this year than be where the Hornets are. Because there's no guarantee the Hornets get the first pick. There's no guarantee that the Hornets are going to be worth a damn in 10 years.
They even have an all-star caliber player right now, and it doesn't matter. Like, LaMelo is an all-star talent. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's,
Yeah.
But it doesn't, been an even, all-star. It doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. Like, they're still awful.
Yeah.
They also, they can't lure free agents either. So they're in that really rough spot where you have to trade right. You have to draft right.
Exactly.
And, you know, so you can prove up a player and go trade him for, you know, for better stuff, maybe, but they're in a bad spot.
Yeah.
I understand wanting to play for a championship, and if you can't do that, you know, strip it down and do that. I get it. I understand the thought process, but, I mean,
Kings
that's tough.
Kings
Washington and Charlotte being examples are
Kings aren't possibility. Kings aren't there for me yet. Like, not even, in fact, not even close. I've been pretty down on them, but not to the point where it's like you need to trade everything and start from scratch. Like that's a dramatic step.
Well, I don't see a pathway to do it either.
Sure,
that's a tough thing,
right?
And like whether it's ownership or it's the players that you have under contract, there's no pathway.
yeah,
stuff.
All right. What do you guys got coming up?
A little bit more on the Kings situation. You guys talked about it, but the booing of De'Aaron Fox was a little surprising last night. So we'll ask the question, are we kind of dismissing social media reaction a little too much? Like, is that really how a lot of people feel?
For sure.
So we'll talk about it.
Can't wait. Should be a good one. D'Lo and KC coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We've been The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until tomorrow at 10 a.m., drink water and be nice to people. Bye.
Bye, friends.